many here are ready to break out the box, ready to tear the roof off of the limitations, ready to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
This is Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you've joined us today as we're continuing a message, Tear the Roof Off. Really, we're looking at Mark chapter 2, that story of the paralytic man. And if you missed maybe one of the earlier broadcasts in this short series, I'd encourage you to come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. You can always listen to programs that you may have missed or just listen to them again. But as I just mentioned, we're looking at Mark chapter 2 and the story of the paralytic. You had this guy who was crippled. No way that he was ever going to reach Jesus on his own. But there were those around him who wanted to get him to Jesus. And they were ready to break down all those limitations, all those things that were holding him back. We may need to be doing that in the lives of those around us, those that we love and care about who don't know Jesus or need to experience him in a fresh way. But you know, some of us may even need to be doing that in our own lives. If we're going to be honest and ask that question, is there something holding you back from that deep and intimate relationship with Jesus? Many of us are going to come up with something. Maybe it's a little pet sin. Maybe it's a lack of faith. Whatever that may be, are you ready to lay that at the feet of Jesus? And are you ready to cling to that promise that he gives us in Scripture, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, like Pastor Ford was just talking about? Imagine what our lives would look like if we took that promise seriously and if we put a little feet to what we say is our faith. Well, that's part of what today's message is all about. So if you can, open your Bible, join us in Mark chapter 2 as we dive into those first 12 verses and continue the message, Tear the Roof Off. Here's Pastor Ford.
Man, they say, look, you know what? We're not going to let this opposition stop us. These men know that the solution to their friend's problem was not found anywhere but with Jesus. How do you know? Because it says, and they came unto him. Now, if you look at the text, here's what you're going to find. They means more than the five people, the one on the pallet and the four who were carrying him. How do you know that? Because listen to what it says. And they came unto him. That's some people bringing one sick of the, which was born of four. So four people carried him, but it doesn't mean that was all that was with him. Everybody with me? Most of the pictures I've seen, just four guys carrying a man on a pallet. That's not the picture here. There's other people who are with them but not carrying. You know, when we talk about missions, that's exactly what we said. Remember Mission Sunday? We said the Betts and the others that went with them, they went and we helped them go. They're carrying the pallet and we're supporting them. That's exactly what's happening here. They're doing this doggone thing. Now, how do you know that? Because, help me preach this, look at your neighbor and say, Jesus was their first response. Not their last resort. See, here's the problem. It says they went to him. They went to Jesus first. When the opposition comes, go to Jesus. See, a lot of us want Jesus to make us first while we make him last. We want Jesus to make us his priority while we make Jesus our option. Okay, you don't believe me? We got sick. And we said, Lord, heal me and make me well. But now that you have strength, you don't use any of it for him in any kind of way. You don't serve in any capacity whatsoever. Look at somebody and tell them, shame on you. Yeah, you were broke and said, give me money. And now you don't think enough of his provision to give him a dime out of a dollar. You're childless and you asked for one. Now he's given to you, but you won't raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You were spouseless, and God gave you a spouse. Now you got what you wanted, and now you don't want what you got. Now notice what they did to get their friend to Jesus. I gotta drop these, not push them. Notice their effort. Here's their effort. It had to go like this. First of all, they had to be compassionate, because people don't care how much you know, finish it, until they know how much you care. That's right. So there was compassion. How do you know that? Somebody saw him there and said, you know what? We got to do something about this. Is this your friend? Yes, it is. Okay, then, man, you know, let's put him on a pallet. Let's get him to Jesus. They had to care about him. One of the things I love to share it all the time, and it is what happened with a kindergarten class when the teacher said, I want you to go out and do acts of compassion. One little boy who won the prize, his teacher said, oh, you're going to get first prize. And she gave it to him. And everybody wanted to know what happened. Well, there was a man who had been married for 60 years. His wife died. And every morning when this little kindergartner would go to school, get on the bus, that husband and wife were there swinging on their swing, smiling, holding hands and all that. When he came out after she died, he was on the porch and he would be on there by himself crying every day. The 4 days he watched it on Friday, he said, Mama, can I go across the street? Can you help me across the street? His mother helped him across the street. He walked up to the man, sat on his lap, and cried with him. That's all. He won because he had compassion on somebody that was hurting. They had to care. Do you care about the 55 plus souls per second in the world that are dying and going to hell? 55 per second, that's what they say, are dying and going to hell without Christ. So there had to be compassion. There had to be communication. They had to talk to each other. And that's part of the problem. We're not bringing people. We don't talk to each other. We talk about each other. We talk down to each other. But then notice there had to be cooperation. Can you imagine? Now they're getting ready to go up the side of the building with this thing to get on the roof. These roofs had sand and gravel and mud and dirt and a slate. And you had to dig up the mud. Sometimes grass even grew in them. You had to dig it up. Then you had to remove the sand and the gravel. Then remove the slate. Now you got to imagine now Jesus preaching. All of a sudden they tearing up the roof because they let him down right in front of Jesus, which means they tearing up the roof right over Jesus. Now, even if he's a short man, you got to have yourself like a 4x3 hole or something like that. And they're letting them down. Jesus preaching, and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, all their finery, and everybody that's in the vicinity. What's going on up there? What's going on up there? These guys cooperate. Now, they had narrow steps that went up the side. So you know what that means? The two that were going up had to bend down, and the two was in the back had to lift up to keep the man going up straight so he wouldn't slide off the pallet. That takes cooperation. I can't for the life of me figure out how it is that we're ever going to get any ministry done when we don't cooperate with each other. How are we going to get ministry done around here when every little thing you get mad about, you know, man, simple. I don't understand it at all. But here it is. Here it is. Here's what I want to focus on. Creativity. Now, the other one is commitment. They were committed until Jesus did something. Follow them all the way through. But the creativity, that's where I got my title, Tear the Roof Off the Sucker. What creativity? What do you mean creativity? Man, that's unconventional. You know, the other C I didn't put in there? Costly. Who's paying for Peter's roof? Peter didn't tear it up. Are you willing to pay what it costs to minister to paralyzed people? He was 80 years old. Everybody loved the way he cooked one thing, chicken. And they would invite him to the family reunions and they would say, now you know who's cooking the chicken. He'd say, I am. The neighbors would bring chickens over and say, cook this chicken for me. At 80 years old, he said, you know what? People clamor for my chicken so much, I think I'm going to go into business. And his family said, you 80 years old? Are you crazy? He said, no, but I am unconventional. I don't care about age. I think I have something here. And at 80 years old, Colonel Harlan Sanders opened up his first Kentucky Fried Chicken. Has anybody ever had any Kentucky Fried Chicken? Oh yeah, somebody said, I'm going to have some as soon as you get done. Will you hurry up? We going to get the big bucket. We going to get the big bucket, Pastor. Now imagine if he would have listened to his critics. Imagine if he listened to all the naysayers. Generally, people tell you, you can't because they didn't. Don't you let the a lot of times people say, you can't because they didn't. They trying to hold you on their level. Why? So you could all be down there. Ah, we could die. We could die. Now look, I know we've been oppressed as a people and all that. But all these black millionaires, they didn't believe the hype. They say, yeah, they knocked me down, but they can't keep me down. Yeah, I know I started late in the race, but they ain't gonna call it back and start it over. We're blaming somebody else. Here it is. This is the way it's supposed to have gone. I don't know where they really did. I'm gonna ask Billy to check it out, but this is the story we preachers tell. Sunday school teacher Edward Kimball led D.L. Moody to Christ. D.L. Moody started evangelistic crusades, and a guy by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman got saved. He's a great theologian of the 19th and the early 20th century. And then there was a baseball player who was very, very phenomenal, and he got saved at a Wilbur Chapman crusade. His name was Billy Sunday. And he started doing crusades, and at one of his crusades, Mordecai Ham got saved, and he started doing crusades. And then at his crusade, a young man named Billy Graham got saved and started the Billy Graham Evangelistic Crusades. And he's not here today, but we have in our choir Phil. Phil got saved at a Billy Graham Evangelistic Crusade. I was in Florida last year at a major men's conference, and I was on the platform. Nobody had ever heard of me, but everybody else on the platform, everybody all over the nation and some parts of the world knew who these people were. And one guy got up and said this, and he said, and now I'm going to put my name because at a Billy Graham crusade, I came to Christ, and now I work for Billy Graham, and I'm planting churches in Canada, and there are people who have to put their name after my name because my name fits in here because I came from Billy Graham, who came from Mordecai Ham, who came from J. Wilbur Chapman, who came from Billy Sunday, who came from D.L. Moody, who came from Edward Kimball. It all started with an unknown Sunday school teacher who cared. Can I ask you a question? Who's under your name? Who's gonna say, I thank God that you took me to Jesus?
That's something to really think about today, isn't it? Who can say that you helped take them to Jesus? We're listening to a message called Tear the Roof Off from Mark 2. We'll get back to this teaching in just one moment. But if Pastor Ford's teaching has helped you with something specific in your life, like maybe helped restore a broken marriage relationship or get your finances under control or even has brought you to Jesus so that you've begun a relationship with Him, we'd love to hear about that. Let us know when you come to treasuredtruthradio.org and click on contact. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
Let me tell you a story. Who will be in the kingdom because of you? I'm going to go ahead and close this off. But I'm going to tell you what happened to me. This has been a little while ago, but I cite it because it really fits this text. I had a friend named Hook. His name was Mike. We called him Hook. And I told you when I got saved, a lot of people start getting saved. My wife and I would go around sharing Christ with everybody. And because of my lifestyle and the reputation I had in the community, God was using that to save a lot of people. 13 of our family and friends got saved in the first 3 months of our conversion. And so Ray, who led me to Christ, he really had a heart for Hook. Hook was working at our job. And he said, you know, I'm gonna help this young man. And so Hook was a womanizer. And he had dozens and dozens of girlfriends, for real. And so Ray said, let's pray for him, Bo. I said, okay. So we praying, and Ray's praying, Lord, whatever it takes. And so, he's led me to Christ. He's my discipler. So I say, okay, Lord, whatever it takes. So long story short, 3:00 in the morning, Hook calls crying.
Bo, can you come over here? I want to know Jesus, man.
And I heard in the background, I heard Karen, his current woman he was shacking with.
I do too.
So I wanted to say, hey man, take two Psalm 23 and call me in a little later on in the morning. Then I hear the Holy Spirit saying, you said anything. God, do anything it takes and I'll do anything. And now you won't even get up out of your bed. So I told my wife, I said, look, I'm gonna go. She said, it's dangerous over there. I know that because before I got saved, I was one of the reasons it was dangerous over there. And she said, you're gonna go? I said, yeah. And I got up, got dressed, got in what we call then the gospel buggy. That's another sermon for another time. Got in the gospel buggy, get 10 blocks from where Hook is, and the car stops. I said, Lord, no, you're not doing this to me, because I'm not going in there on foot. And it came back to me, no matter what it takes, Lord, no matter what I gotta do. So you're more afraid of the guys who's in there than you are concerned about him being saved. No, I ain't. I was so glad I had my big black Bible that day. You know, that morning, I had my big black Bible. And so I left the car there. I had pushed it off to the side. It was just a little Colt, Dodge Colt. It was one of the first ones, so you know, it was real light. I just did it by myself. You know, I ain't a small man. And so, you know, I'm walking, and I feel like, you know, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, lions and tigers. You know, that's what I felt, man. So then I saw it. I got close to Hook's house. Now there's a cemetery here with a large wall. And then there's a dead end. He lived on a dead end street. And then there were row houses right down here. I turn around the corner. I see my peripheral vision. A guy steps out behind me. I knew the scenario. My wife's brother is my very best friend. We used to, before we got saved, we used to rob people. And that's how we would do it. We get in a place where they couldn't get away. One of us would come behind, and once one was in place, then the other one would step out. I say, somebody getting ready to step out up here behind one of them houses, and sure enough, that joker stepped out. I said, oh Lord, I don't have any money on me, and you know how brothers are, they will kill you because you don't have money. You know, you got to do something. I didn't get the prayer out of my mouth, and a squadron came down the street and pulled up, and they took off like roaches when you cut on the lights. Yeah, don't act like you, oh man, never mind. Let me finish this. Let me get you out of here. They ain't acting like they don't even know. And so he said to me, he said, what are you doing out here? It's 3:30 in the morning. What are you doing out here? Well, who's those two guys that ran? I said, officer, they were going to rob me. See, I'm going to Mike's house because he needs to be saved. He called me this morning. I got out of my bed. My car broke down. It's a few blocks back there. And, you know, I'm getting ready to tell him about Jesus because Jesus saved me. Now, I used to be like those guys, but I'm not like that. He said, all right, go where you're going. So I go up. And I'm thinking, okay, Karen, it's really Karen's apartment. She lives on the first floor. And I had never been there before. They told me come to the first floor. I said, okay, it makes sense then to ring the bell that's at the bottom. So it's about 3:45. And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, I got to ring the right bell. So I ring the bottom bell thinking, since they're the bottom apartment, it'd be the bottom bell. But then the Holy Spirit said to me, move back. And I did, because I was a young Christian then. Those were the days whenever he said it, I did it as soon as he said it. And I stepped back. And when I stepped back, I had awakened some woman on the second floor. She threw up the doggone window. The pane glass fell out and crashed where I was standing. I said, thank you, Jesus. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for Karen. And she said, she lives downstairs, waking me up early in the morning like this, crazy people down there, I'm tired of this. So I go in and I led both of them to Christ. Now Paul Harvey says, let me tell you the rest of the story. I left this house about 9:00 because I went through assurance of salvation, all that kind of stuff. Told him I wanted to disciple him, get my wife involved for Karen, and blah, 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 whole nine. So I was there from about 3:45 to about 9:00, almost 5 hours. I go back, the car's on the side. I said, I'm just gonna see before I call AAA if this thing will start. I put the key in ignition, boom, turned over. I said, God wanted to test whether I was serious about seeing him saved. what are you gonna do? See, when you look at what's going on, The Bible lets us know right here that God is in control and that human responsibility must be coupled with divine sovereignty. Jesus didn't go get him. They brought him to Jesus. How many here are ready to break out the box? Ready to tear the roof off of the limitations? Ready to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Because we have an out-of-the-box God. We have a God that does things differently and out of the box and unexpected, and people don't expect him to do it, but he does. Okay, let me close. Think about this. Adam and Eve sinned, and they were expelled from the garden. Okay, Lord, how will you deal with it, Lord? Will you do some mighty miracle? Will you blast Satan out of existence? Will you appear as a flaming, consuming fire? Will you be a mighty storm and sweep over sinners and sin and Satan? No. I'm going to come as a baby. And I'm going to grow up. And I'm going to go to a hill called Calvary. And I'm going to take everybody's sins on me, past, present, and future. I'm going to die for everyone. But wait a minute, you are God. Yes, that's why I'm going to sacrifice who I am so that they can become who I am. Because if I don't veil my deity in humanity, they're all going to bust hell wide open. So I'm going to make the ultimate sacrifice so that they can be with me in heaven. See, they can't go up, but I came down. And now that I came down, they can go up because I tore the roof off.
And that is the title of today's broadcast, Tear the Roof Off, from Mark chapter 2. You know, maybe there's something you heard on today's broadcast that you want to go back and listen to again, or maybe something from a previous day. You can always do that by coming to our website and listen online. Stop by treasuredtruthradio.org. That's treasuredtruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, one of the things that's so encouraging about being involved in a ministry like this is regular feedback from listeners talking about how God is using this program in their lives.
Yes, they're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of them don't have the opportunity at times to get to Bible study. Sometimes they don't get the chance to study on their own at home.
Yeah.
But they turn on their radio, and Moody Radio is there. The plethora of teachers and good, sound teaching, and they're able to be edified and built up. And so I know that our listeners want to support us with one-time gifts and monthly gifts. And remember, yeah, no gift is too small, because it's not what I'd do with a million if a million would be my lot, but it's what I'm going to do right now with a dollar and quarter I got.
Well, if you would like to give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift, you can do that easily by coming to treasuredtruthradio.org. Look for that link that says Make a Donation, and you can give your gift safely and securely online, both the ongoing monthly gift and the one-time gift. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Thanks for giving. Thanks for listening. And I hope you'll join us next time here on Treasure Truth, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.